How's it going out there? Welcome back to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Yes, we are back.
Are we really the one and only? Because I've never actually checked.
What if there's another one? You know, I personally would like to think that I am the only one and only, and this is the only one and only show of the Carolyn and Joe Show. If there is another Carolyn and Joe Show out there, we challenge you to a fight.
To a duel.
A duel, you might say. A knockdown, drag out, slam
like
him in the
a,
face.
Or we should a Western style, like, pistol duel where we have to, like, stand back to back and then walk 10 paces and
yes.
then turn around whoever's the first to shoot.
And I'm not going to lie to you guys who happen to be the other Carolyn and Joe Show. I am going to cheat. You will walk 50 paces, I will walk 10, and I will shoot you in the head. That's just the way outlaws are. That's just the way we are. How's it going, Carolyn? Welcome back to the show.
I'm back.
Welcome.
When was I ever away?
Welcome back to the Carolyn and Joe Show. After Halloween, we just got back from last week's episode, had the Virginia Comic Con, which was very interesting. The week before that, we had Brian. Before that, we had New York Comic Con. We've just been in and out, all over the place.
All over the East Coast.
And now, all of a sudden, I remember CM Punk and the Money in the Bank, and now, all of a sudden, it's November. What the hell happened then?
I don't know.
It's just freaking just all
is
of a sudden.
Time warp.
All of a sudden, CM Punk in Chicago, and all of a sudden, bam, it's November. Halloween is done. Did you have a good Halloween? Did you enjoy your Halloween festivities?
Halloween was pretty rad. I'm trying to remember what actually happened because
this whole year has gone by so quickly. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I just got back from filming a movie down in Luray Caverns. It was pretty interesting.
Was it actually in the Luray Caverns?
It was in the area. It was like 5 minutes. It was pretty much Luray. There's nothing else in Luray but Luray Caverns. It's a small town.
Well, you
very
said
much...
down in Luray Caverns.
Oh, not down.
Makes me think that you went down into the Luray Caverns.
No.
I'm just checking.
We're just in the town of Luray. Luray. It's very much Luray. It's very much just like the town of wherever Super 8 took place. They filmed that in West Virginia. This is very close. This feels very similar to that type. Surrounded by hills, surrounded by all types of weather.
Small town.
Yeah, very small town.
I've been to Luray Caverns. Have you been down there?
I have been down there, but I don't really remember it as much, but I remember being there.
Were you very young?
I was very young. That's what I was saying when I was there. I was like, wow.
I was here, but I wasn't really... You know, I can't remember anything.
Yeah, I was like, I was very young the last time.
It makes me wonder about, like, children and vacations. Like, how young is too young? Because I see all these, like, parents take their kids to, like, Disney World or Disneyland. Like, these major... Like, to me, going to see, like, a Disney theme park is, like, a major ordeal.
Yeah.
And, like, it's, you know, it probably costs several thousand just to go there and, you know, be at the park. I guess the park passes are, like, $100 a day or so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in general, then the kid's going to want, like, a hat and a shirt and a this and a that and a food. And, you know, it ends up and probably actually being, like, $200 a day.
Well, part of me thinks that it's not about being too young, but I feel like it's trying to envision myself if I had a child and we're taking them to, what's it called, any amusement park. Part of it might be it's more or less for me to be like, hey, look. We're here in an amusement park.
So it's more for the adult.
Well, part of it might feel like that because, like,
I see, like, seriously, like, toddlers at Disney, and I'm, like, wondering if they will ever remember that. They probably will not remember that.
That's why I say it's for the parents. It's to say, like, hey, we were here at this age, and check us out. You know what I mean?
I almost feel like that's too young to take a kid to Disney. Like, I feel like they would only remember it from, like,
will they be scared?
Probably.
Because look at the ripe age. Because, like, once you reach the teens, it's sort of like the teenagers don't want to do anything. I didn't want to do anything. I want to stay at home.
The best age to probably go there is, like, maybe fourth grade and up. fourth grade to maybe eighth grade. That's like your time bracket for Disney, for like a memorable Disney experience that you're going to remember when you're older and you're still going to have fun.
What makes the memorable Disney experience? Like meeting, I mean, like Snow White and...
I would say, like, you know, obviously meeting the characters, and then you probably have a couple rides that are, like, standout rides that you really, really super enjoyed, that you're like, oh my gosh, I love the Haunted Mansion or whatever.
Like, one of the youngest rides I remember riding was, like, the Big Bad Wolf in Busch Gardens. That was, like, one of my first roller coasters ever. I don't even remember what age I was. I was a youth teen or something like that.
Did you have to be above a certain height?
Yeah, I had to be above a certain height. But I remember that one specifically because it was very scary. And I was like, I'm not going up there. And then the whole time you're like in line, you know, everyone's all like, oh, you gotta go. And it's funny because when you're in line for a ride, any type of ride that you're possibly scared of, it's weird because how many times do you actually chicken out once you're in the line? You can talk that game about being afraid and like, oh my god, oh no, I'm not doing it, no. But like, you're still in that line. You ever wonder about that? You wonder about that, America? You know, Canada? Do you ever think about that? Germany? Out there in Germany? You people never really actually chicken out. You just whine.
Do they have all the rides way there. In Germany?
Oh, I bet they have the best rides in Germany. About like chocolate and,
riding. And like voluptuous Gloomp or whatever his name is. He's like, I rode the chocolate river.
What is that?
Isn't that that kid's name from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
I have no idea.
His name is something like Voluptuous Gloomp or
all,
something.
What if all the rides? I don't know. All the rides in
Klaus Van Gloomp.
All the rides in Germany are like based off of the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. You go through
the
like
Chocolate River.
Yeah, you go through like a tunnel of hell on a boat and stuff like that.
Remember, like, you know crazy. That kid, you know that kid from The Simpsons, which is like the, I guess he's like Wiggum, Ralph Wiggum? Ralph Wiggum. He always reminded me of the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory fat boy. Because he'd be like,
come on, fat boy!
He'd be like,
that's such a vicious name, fat boy.
My cat smells like cat food. My cat's breath smells like cat food.
Fat boy.
That's what he is, dude.
I like this.
How else are you gonna describe him? He's the fat boy on The Simpsons.
I like those terms. Fat boy, old man, stuff like that. It's like verb, noun. I think that's a verb. I'm not sure. I don't know what a verb is.
A verb is something that describes something.
Yeah, verb, noun. Fat boy, old man. Those things. What is the ones they can use for women? Old hag. Stuff like that.
Oh my god.
Or like stupid bitch. Like things like that. All it takes is those two syllables that you can really cut someone down.
So Big Bad Wolf was your main highlight when you were younger.
I mean, that was a highlight.
I don't know. I just can't believe that, like, I see pictures of people with their family and they're taking like seriously like such little kids to Disney World, and it's almost like, I mean, it costs a lot of money to fly out there or drive there, and I don't know. I just feel like it's almost a disservice sometimes.
But what do you think about amusement parks in general?
I mean, when I was younger, I wasn't really too fond of them. I remember I went a few times, I guess with like swim team once or one type of team I went.
Wait, your team went to, your team went to, as a unit, went to an amusement park?
Yeah.
That's like what?
I don't remember if it was swim team or what it was, but I think it was swim team. I'm not 100% sure what it actually was. Some type of activity.
Just to go?
Yeah, we had a King's Dominion day.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I mean, it was
King's Dominion Day. You didn't like do a perform. You didn't swim over there or something like that.
Because
usually, like band
ride.
Doesn't like the band. They go like to
They went King's to like Dominion, Dollywood a few times,
and they like perform or something like
I
that.
I remember
we're
they
perform. Oh, we
they
saw
performed
that
performed at Dollywood, right?
I remember we saw that when we went to like Disneyland or something like that. We saw like one of the teams like performing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we did. But I mean, I guess when I was younger, I don't know, I wasn't really that big on, you know, riding rides. And also, like, my parents, they never, my family was never really, like, the type of, like, family that's like, let's go to amusement parks. So I didn't grow up with that type of, you know, thinking of, like, oh, let's ride rides and stuff. But my parents did take me, I guess it was, like, the summer of fifth grade into sixth grade, I believe it was. We did go drive down to Disney World in Florida. So that was pretty interesting. I mean, I felt like it was a good time to go. And we also saw SeaWorld and the Universal Studios. So we got to see a lot of stuff while we were down there.
SeaWorld is like a zoo, though, right?
Yeah, we got to see. I remember we saw like Shamu and stuff.
Shamu.
I mean, I felt like that was like I felt like that was a good age to go because it was like it was, you know, at the end of elementary school and, you know, it was before we got into high school. I felt like that was a good age and it was memorable. But I still you have to describe this.
This screensaver.
Oh, we're laughing at this. It's like this crazy. What do you call this thing?
It's where it goes on. Screensaver.
But it goes on during the music.
I don't know. I mean, it's a screen.
No, there's a word for it. I just can't remember.
Visualization or something.
Yeah, visualization. That's what it is.
I guess that's what it's called. But it literally. Sorry, we had to break our story.
What we were seeing was a stick figure man that was like neon and he was like dancing.
It's funny because the
crude animation.
It's funny because our studio computer usually has the, you know, it's playing the background music that you hear today. It really does record the, you know, since for our show.
100% raw.
Yeah, for our show, we go live. You know, we're proud to go live, record it live, and it gives us sort of our countdown. And while the music is playing, I have it set up to like just the screensaver or whatever the whatever imagery pops up. And there's some crazy things that actually pop up on here, like really fancy, like hardcore three-dimensional
objects. I've never been on
objects.
Drugs, but it just really looks like yeah, this is if you were on drugs, this is what,
yeah,
what it would
this
be.
Is what we're, this, the computer screen, the studio that we're looking at, is just I just have this set to keep the energy going and to give us a countdown because it also shows us what song is playing. And like really, the graphics are insane. Like it has crazy things happening, like these super highly rendered psychedelic imagery that's happening. And then what just happened a few minutes ago? This is the first time I ever saw that. But literally, it was a drawing of a stick figure, like a really black screen and like a neon drawn stick figure. And it was just like spazzing out.
It was like a crudely drawn stick figure too. It wasn't like you know, like Diary of a Wimpy Kid has like a nicely drawn stick figure. This one was like all crude, like it literally looked it like a 3-year old drew it.
It was like a webcomic stick figure. It was just like having arms like change and spaz colors.
Come on, man, don't give webcomics that much of a downfall.
But like that's what this looked like, and I was
just, it looked worse than a webcomic.
But as a description, and then I'm comparing. I'm like, out of all the things.
No, but that's how webcomics get a bad vibe. Just so you know, people talk like that.
Yeah, but like,
because Curls isn't drawn like that.
Yeah, Curls is a comic strip though. So, but like when
on the web.
But when you know you see like right now it's flashing these amazing like you know crystal like whatever you call it like now we're going into space, amazing images of space, and like I looked at that stick figure and I'm like, that's the best thing you could do right now. Look how amazing it looks now. We're like journeying into it. Looks like the end of the movie The Fountain right now. But like, it's like a stick figure pops up.
Like, and it was for like 3 seconds. I was doing herky jerky.
The computer's
dance.
Like, I got nothing else for you, buddy.
Like, how do they generate this? They're all so different, though.
I don't know. I haven't seen it really repeat. I bet we're never going to see that stick figure ever again.
Oh my good God. Oh my gosh.
These are the journeys into the computer's thoughts. It's crazy, like
the computer's like, I will show you this world that no one else will see.
I always like what Max have that thing right during, because whenever I used to go to other people's studio, or I used to still go to other people's studio, like Mac has like the news pop up and stuff like that, like the current news. I was like, that's pretty crazy.
Oh yeah, that screensaver. Yeah, they have that as an option. They also have like one that has a word of the day or the dictionary, so makes you like learn words.
That's one, you know, speaking of Mac, that's one thing that we never talked about was the fact that Steve Jobs died.
I mean, I don't really know what else there is to say, because to me it was very expected.
Well, when I was shooting, say, at an all-girls school like a couple weeks ago now, and we're at like a computer lab. Of course, we're at a Mac lab. They don't have a PC lab. They don't name PCs a lab. They just have a Mac lab. But across the way from that wall.
Well, because Mac also donates computers for education.
Well, they bought this. They bought these. But off the subject of that, across the wall, they had like a dedication. What is it called? Like a memorial to Steve Jobs.
Like a shrine?
Yeah, like a shrine, basically, to their god. And
jeez, he is so many people's gods. Like,
but no, but like,
what did they have?
I'm assuming that the students showed, you know, they were told like, all right, make your dedication to Steve Jobs, and we're gonna post it on this board.
Oh my gosh! And is that what they're teaching kids these days?
That's basically what I saw. And the one thing I saw that really, really caught my eye Well, there's several things. One, it was they had several pictures of Steve Jobs I've never seen before.
Holding
one,
an apple?
One with a beard and one without a beard. And I was like, wow, there was a time when he didn't have a beard. So I saw all these different eras. And then I saw, like, remember the what is the not the iPod, not the Touch, not the Mac. What was just the music one? The one I never had.
iTunes?
No, though, the actual unit for
iPod?
That.
iPod?
Yeah, they had the iPod. Like, remember
you
those
iPods? You mentioned it.
Remember those iPods? Oh, yeah.
And then you said not the iPod.
Oh, I thought I said iPad.
Okay.
Well, that,
sorry.
The iPod. Remember those commercials for the iPod? And it was like the silhouetted people with the earbuds or headphones on?
Yeah, very much similar to that stick figure man that was all dancing.
Yeah, like except this had like a whole person, and then the only thing that's lit up, like the reverse imagery of it, is just like the headphones.
Yeah.
Well, one person had an image of a person on headphones, and they had their hands in their pocket, and they're looking sad. And the slogan for it said, I sad. I was like,
it's so sad. Conceptual, dude. That's pretty good for weren't they 8th grade or high school?
When I looked at it, it just said, when I looked at it, it said, I sad. I was like, oh, man.
Well, it kind of reminds me of like how
it
when...
sort of sounds like Shaft if you think about it. I sad.
Remember when...
I sad about Steve Jobs.
Remember when Mel Blanc died and they're all like the Looney Tunes characters were just looking onto a microphone that was empty and then they had the spotlight on the microphone?
Yeah. It was like that.
It was like that. It was like, oh, that makes me sad. But it was like a fitting tribute to that man.
It said, I sad.
Even like on Twitter, people... That was a hashtag when he died. It said, I sad.
Oh, man,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was like out there. It was prominent. I mean, a lot of people did tributes to Steve Jobs online, you know, even like webcomic artists. I saw quite a few tributes to Steve Jobs. And, you know, I give him a ton of credit.
Carolyn, what is Steve Jobs to you then?
I give him a ton of credit because it's like he is a modern day inventor.
Modern day Da Vinci or modern day Michelangelo?
I don't know. I can't really compare him to anyone else, but I'm just saying that, like, as far as anyone else these days, it feels, you know, we're in the computer age, really high tech, and internet and all that stuff right now. So, you know, he created devices where people could literally have anything they want at the touch of a button on their phone, in, like, the palm of their hand.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, you know, bringing up old stuff, but, you know, like, you know, say you wanted to watch a music video on MTV, you'd have to wait for 5 hours and be like, oh, I can't wait until they play, you know, this world premiere of Michael Jackson or something, you know, like, and then, you know,
like premieres used to mean something.
It would be like a big deal, you know, or like, oh man, I really wish they played like Boys to Men again. And you have to watch VH1 for like 5 hours.
Why aren't they playing Boys to Men again in the top 10?
You know, but like, you'd have to watch it for like, have you ever had a song where you had to watch for like 5 hours just to make sure, oh, like, I want to hear the song again.
Yeah.
And you just like leave it on, like hoping and praying that they play that song again.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. But whereas, like, now, if you want to, like, listen to Boys to Men, you literally just type in Boys to Men. It comes right up. You can get any song you want by them. It's, like, super easy. Like, in a way, like, Steve Jobs made our life so much more convenient. But, and I'm not blaming him personally as, like, a one-person blame. At the same time, with all of this...
That's a one-person blame.
You know, he basically, like, you can't really go to record stores anymore. Like, record stores are very hard to find. You can't, like, shift through.
Unless
you know.
You count FYI as some sort of record store. But last time I went there, it felt really horrible to be in an FYI.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really actually accounting for your entertainment. But I'm saying, like, you know, like, it just feels like the old days of the treasure hunt are gone. And I'm not blaming Steve Jobs, like, as a person. I'm just saying, like, it does fit into, like, the modern day society of just having everything so accessible. But on one hand, I'm like, oh, that's very convenient. That's awesome. Like, I can see any movie or listen to any song at my convenience. I can look up any fact. I can know everything in the world that I need to know. But then on the other hand, it's like, okay, for example, I know this is pretty lame, but last night I was watching some, like, old Civil War stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, looking at all the stuff that those men... I guess, and, like, I just also learned that apparently there are women that cut their hair and acted like men to be fighting, you know, and these people, like, dug trenches and, like, you know, had, like, these forts and stuff, and they were protecting their area, and I don't know, I just felt like, you know, when I looked at, like, a lot of, and it's not just Civil War, but, like, if you look at some of the past generations, it really does feel like those people worked really hard, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, nowadays, you just see people, like, being, like, oh man, I gotta take this paperclip off. This is too much work. And I say it in that type of voice.
But hey, like, man, I gotta take this paper cut. What the? What? Come on.
But I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I'm just saying, I really do see a lot of, like, lazy people. And you blame
that on Steve Jobs?
And I am not, like I said, I can't be placing a one-person blame. But it just, like, on one hand, also, it means that a lot of our jobs got taken off. They're in other countries now.
Yeah.
Or, like, it's just, like, so easy to be like, oh, I don't need a fact checker. I can do it myself. Like, I have the internet. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I can't really... It's not one person you can blame. It's just, like, society in general. But don't you feel like the other generations, like... You know, if I had every day to go out there and build trenches and, like, you know... I don't know what else... I don't know, like, all this, like, labor, you know, if I had to do that, that would be a much different lifestyle.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, the people back then, it's not like they knew what an iPad was. What if you just put an iPad in their hand and they're just like...
What? Well, also, I mean, thinking of, like, the iPad in general as a device, I remember not even thinking that this would even be something that people would be doing, like, touch screen. Like, there was, like, years. It wasn't until, like, probably 2007, 2008... Like, until, like, touchscreen got reintroduced. Like, before that, I thought, like, the touchscreen idea was gone.
Well, I
actually thought, like, oh, no, I mean, what's the point? We're going to touch the screen? That's never going
to
work.
And again. I'm not denying, like, anything that Steve Jobs has contributed to the universe. Like, he's obviously a very smart person and, a great, fantastic, you know, on the level of people are calling him genius. I'm not denying some of those facts. But what I'm saying is, like, sometimes when I think about iTunes, it's like, I sometimes feel like Apple just has this presence of, like, oh, that they invented music. And I'm like, really, all you did was set up a music store and made it easy for people just to download for 99 cents.
Which was, at that time, even, like, people were like, what, not, you know, music industry was, like, afraid. Well, not afraid, but they didn't believe that was going to be a pull in the future.
Well, also, then there was, like, Napster and people were getting their music for free. So, like, on one hand, it's like, well, at least people
you gotta hijack the profit,
people
right?
are, like, paying for it now, so that's good. But then it's also, like, I don't know, sometimes I get the feeling that Apple walks around and they act like they are, like, the musicians. And I'm like, you didn't really create the music, though.
But
do you get that feeling? Like, that they, like, are like, oh, well, we own the music industry now. And then they have, like, the iPod, you know, and then they're like, oh, this can play music. And I'm like, well, I still have my Walkman.
Well, it's also...
My little cassette Walkman.
I feel like it's almost like they represent the music at this point. You know what I mean? It's like you're an agent who's on your list of... musicians. It's like, because when they even announced, like, we finally got the Beatles or Led Zeppelin's on, it's like that's like an agent, like, acquisition. It's like, that's how big they got. They can actually be like, oh, they're on our list now. It's like, now who's not on their
list? It's pretty crazy, though, if you think about it. And also, like, just he just basically took things that people need and made them more accessible.
I mean, yeah, like the, you know, like,
that's what people need, though. Like, life began
with the remote control. It's like, once you introduce the remote control, it's like, why are people going to get up?
So sometimes I think about, you know, like how I reference the Civil War time period and stuff like that. It's like, those people never knew what they were missing, though.
Exactly.
You know, like they might have, like, only bathed once every month or something like that, or not even, and, like, been all smelly and stuff. But they didn't know our modern-day luxuries.
Yeah.
But then now, like, so then I'm like, okay, I can kind of understand that in my head. I'm comprehending it. But then now I'm like, the modern-day person is too, like, weak to even, like, look for a job sometimes. You know?
Because they think it should come to them.
Yeah, and
thus,
I'm like
the remote.
And yeah,
thus, like,
and, like, their music and, you know, whatever. You know, oh, I had to touch a screen to pay 99 cents.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know, I'm kind of, like, down on the modern-day society a little bit. Like,
why are you down on the modern-day society?
I mean, on one hand, I think, like, everyone's awesome and, like, everyone's really learning from each other. There are certain people that I think are really creating stuff that is innovative and pushing boundaries.
Who would you say?
I mean, I guess I would have to put Steve Jobs in that category. And, like, in a way, you know, people that are, like, the modern-day, you know, Walt Disney and... people that are, or like Peter Jackson, I just saw the fourth video came out for his vlog, is that what they call it, vlog? Like a video blog?
I believe so.
Yeah, whatever that is. I saw the fourth video for his new film, The Hobbit.
Yeah.
And like, I felt like he was really pushing like the technology really big time. You know, and
he's always sort of been a front runner of technology.
Yeah, like stuff like that. There are certain people.
He has his own production company, like with a Weta, Weta, however they pronounce it properly.
Like, I don't know for sure how to pronounce it, but I know what you're talking about. But like, I just feel like there are certain people that are pushing boundaries, that are working really hard, that are trying to create new things. But then on the other hand, there's like a whole bunch of people that are lazy asses. Like, seriously, there really are.
Yeah.
And they feel like they're like obligated to be like, oh yeah, I'm Peter Jackson. I'm Peter Jackson. And I'm like, whoever.
So you think
I don't know if they think that they're Peter Jackson. So
I feel like technology makes people entitled.
Yeah, or like, oh, I have an iPhone. So if you're just I'm Steve Jobs now.
So like, you know? Every time they buy a big piece of technology, you're like, I'm the shit, man. Look at me. Let me in this club. I have an iPad. The iPad club.
I'm just carrying it around with me as I go to the club.
Yeah.
I don't know if like it gets to that level, but I really feel like, I really do feel like a lot of people feel like just because they own it, and I don't have an iPhone, I don't even have a smartphone, but like, I don't really, like, part of me doesn't want one yet. I know eventually I'll probably get something like that, but I just don't want to constantly be looking at it. And I know that that's what people do. They feel like they're important. They feel like, and not, I'm not saying that nobody's important, but like, they're like, oh my God, I gotta check my status. It's like, you know, like, is that really, you know, like that pressing right now?
I mean,
now?
Even on set or
it's
even
like
on
a
anything.
Time suck.
I mean, I feel like even like in my profession, it's like you have to have, we're living in an age of like, you know, basically the dick measuring contest where like you have to have the newest technology. And
but also
people see
it's
that,
like you have to be constantly in touch with everything.
Yeah.
And then if you're not, then people are like, oh man, you didn't.
You didn't download
the latest update, man. Oh man.
Yeah. you didn't get 5.5.69? It's like, no, I'm only on 5.568. Damn. And then people stop talking to him. Or like, even if like you, a good example really is that, I don't know what phone commercial that is, but where that guy gets he's all pissed off because everyone else went to the taco party.
Oh yeah.
And then he's all like, about, why'd you invite him and stuff like that? And then and he's like, geez, someone would have, that would have been nice for me to find out there's a taco party happening. And then he gets like the text slow.
Yeah.
That's really what happens. And people feel, you know, they get left behind.
And then exactly why that commercial is effective.
Yeah.
Because then people feel like they need to have the latest and greatest. It's and, like,
Ryzen,
I mean, like on one
Sprint.
Hand, it's, you know, I feel like I'm so undecided because on one hand, I like understand it. You know, everyone always wants to be up on their game. But then on the other hand, I'm like, really? Does it have to be at this level that if you have like an which iPhone just came out? 4?
4S.
Okay.
Because
so,
you can talk to it now.
Yeah. What's her name? It's like,
what's her name?
Yeah. The phone.
I didn't know there's a phone.
The phone has a name. Siri.
Siri?
Yeah.
That's the phone name?
Yeah. And isn't that like Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise's daughter's
yeah.
name? Yeah. The phone is named Siri. And like, our people are like, oh, I already have the iPhone 4. So then I have to upgrade to the 4S. Is that what people did?
Or they just get left behind.
I'm like, really? Do you really need to talk to your phone? Like, I mean, it's definitely
but they make it feel
cool.
Like you, they make it feel like you really do need to talk to your phone. It was actually something that I was really wanting to reinforce back way in the day. I was like, man, I would just talk to it.
See, but then as soon as they get that update, and then there's going to be another one probably soon.
So how fast are these updates?
I don't know, man. There's so many.
How far do you think this is going to go, Carolyn?
It's going to keep going forever because the phone companies need to be inventive and keep making more and more.
I'm still going to inject that. It's going to be a bloodstream electronical injection that's going to happen.
Oh my gosh.
Synchronized mental stability.
Oh my goodness. That's crazy. That's crazy, Joe.
Steve Jobs' dream is coming true.
I mean, I think he did a good thing for our society, but it's just that certain people take it to like different levels, like that is unnecessary.
Well, they do, isn't that? But also, that's what they. I always believe maybe that's what Apple and Mac and all, you know, that whole. That's what they wanted. They wanted that to be a lifestyle. You know, they wanted
that's
that
true.
Everything to look like Eve. You know, they're like, we want
but
you
how,
to be
but
in
I
us.
Do like their look, you know? Like, it is clean and
it's that
simple.
white on white that you're talking about.
Yeah, like, so I can't down them. I can't down Apple. Like, I own Apple products. I use a Mac. Like, I mean, I'm not downing them. It's just that there's certain things that are kind of, like, elitist about it. And I think they even know about it. Like, they're aware.
Well, they make it like that,
they're
right?
They're aware.
But also, that's the way that's good marketing. You want people to want things that they don't need.
It is good. So on one hand, it's just that I, as a person, know my limits, and I know,
person.
Like, I know when to, like, stop, or when to, like, be, like, content, you know? Like, I'm content with what I have. Like, I don't need a talking phone.
You know what's funny is
I mean,
that...
it's cool, but I don't need it.
You know what's funny? That every single time I've gone inside of an Apple store, there's some peculiar smell that goes in the air.
You know, you know that there is, like... I don't know for sure about what Apple's doing, but there is a smell that makes you want to buy stuff.
Really? What's the smell?
I don't know, but they've done studies where stores pump in a smell, like, secretly, and it makes you want to buy stuff.
I wonder what that smell is.
I don't know. I would have to look it up on the internet, so, like, I could tell you, but...
I remember,
there,
like,
there is definitely a, like, marketing issue about that.
It was crazy. Back in the day of college... we used to not be able to use websites as a proper citation for our articles.
Yeah, now it's like, what else would you use?
They're like, we can't count the internet. Because
they're
yet.
Like killing libraries too. So it's like, see, so on this one, I'm still trying to like work with internally with myself. It's like, on one hand, it's like, oh, this convenience is so good. Like you can look up anything like instantly. And
it's like a paperless. We don't chop down any trees.
Yeah.
Everyone
but then
doesn't
it's like,
chop
well,
down
energy.
Trees. We'll save the great rainforest.
Well, then what about the energy, though?
Yeah, but now we're figuring out ways to make it less energy.
Anyway, less. But what I'm saying is that, like, on one hand, I'm like, this is really great. You get instant info. And on the other hand, I'm like, well, basically society is destroying. You don't really have libraries as much. You
but
don't really have, like, face-to-face contact as much. You don't really have jobs as much.
Maybe the contact part, but it's like libraries in general. It's like, well, if you don't need them... Why have them?
I mean, you
want to touch,
like,
books, you know, that stuff,
but
like, they're
need...
just going to, libraries and museums are going to merge. It's what's going to happen.
I think museums are still really good to have around because you
no,
get
that's
to
what
see
I'm
it
saying.
In person.
That's what I'm saying. You get to see it in person. You get to see books in person now. You get to see like these real prints.
See, but I bet like books, like now it's like I look at some of my books as a collection and it's almost like, man, if I ever have kids, they're going to look at this and be like, what is this? It's all ancient.
Yeah, it's I don't want to touch it.
Like, yeah.
That's the one thing I saw.
I'm like, well, like, I love books. So it's like, I don't know. It's a double-edged sword.
That was one of the responses I heard when we were filming, like, the kids at the all-girls school. When we were talking, they were like, so, do you really like your iPad? Like, yeah, the iPads are great. Like, do you want to read books? Like, real books in your hands? And you're like, no, I don't want to touch a book. Like, that's like, lame.
Yeah, it's dirty or something.
Yeah.
I gotta
turn pages and stuff like. We're gonna be. What's. I feel like in the future, we're just gonna develop into an emulation society where just everything is emulated from the real life. It's like, wow. I mean, it smells like the forest, but you're not really in the forest.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they're already starting to do with. Like, what is that hipstermatic? The camera?
Yeah.
That's like. There's another one, too. I forget the name of it, but it's like a filter that makes your photo look like it's from the 70s or something like that. And like. Or like Holga style. And
all these deficiencies in the cameras are now made into a hip statement.
Yeah, and now it's like, oh, that's cool now, because it's like, has that old style camera look. And then
like 2 years from now, we're all going to look at our images and be like, or not me, but they're all going to look at their images and be like, I wish I had a clean version of that.
Yeah. Or I mean, like, there's, like, basically, I've also seen websites that are like stimulated to look like something, but it's not, you know, or even like the page turn, you know, like I'm sure you've seen like catalogs online where you can look for the catalog and the page will turn like it's as if it's a real book, you know, like, I mean, like I'm downing these things, but on one hand, like they're pretty cool, but then
emulating.
On the other hand, like, I'm like, really?
I actually wish they wouldn't emulate stuff. I would want a new experience because I already know how it is to turn a page.
Well,
that's cool.
Other people don't.
What else could it be? You know what I mean? Push it to the next level.
I can't, but it's interesting how you bring up smell. Like, I think that smell would be a new thing coming out. Like, if your iPad had smell.
I would never be able to fully utilize that anyway because I can't really smell stuff.
I know, but, like, imagine that, though. That's going to be the next thing. Smell what a forest.
Smell-o-vision.
This is what a smell is, forest smells like. In any smell.
And then it'll just, like, it'll just push the smell out.
Yeah. And you smell the pines. Or what if, like, there's a perfume website and you can sample all the perfumes? That's what's going to be the future. Smell-o-vision.
So basically the future is just abolish all of actual, like, freestanding locations.
And also...
all stores will now be online.
Yeah.
You won't even have to hold anything. You just have this one device.
Yeah.
And that one device just runs the world. And
also, speaking of online shopping, I've heard that people are, like, obsessed with online shopping.
People are obsessed with online shopping.
And then, like, they don't even remember what they buy, and then they end up just sending it back sometimes, or, like, you know, just disregarding it in general.
What
like,
an awesome... This so-called economic crisis where people can just buy random things at the push of a button.
Yeah, it's messed up. But what I want to say about emulating things, there is actually this, like, the best thing that I've ever seen on the internet I'm participating in right now.
What's that?
It is called Birding the Net, and it's brought to you by Audubon Society.
What's the Audubon Society?
It's like a nature society, and they protect birds.
Man, they it's make called Catching the Net. What is it?
Birding the Net.
Birding the Net.
And it's a social media campaign that they're doing to raise awareness for Audubon, and it is like honestly the best thing about the internet that I've seen in the past few years.
Well, how'd you first stumble onto this?
Well, at work, I was told to look for cool websites. So basically, I spent like 2 days just like trolling around the internet.
So Carolyn, we need you to at least spend at least 8 hours today just, you know, checking out some cool websites they have out there.
Yeah. Like, on one hand, in my head, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, I just get to look at the internet all day. But really, after being on the internet for 8 hours straight, it kind of makes you dizzy.
I bet it does.
I mean, and also,
I don't feel like, good when I look at the internet for longer than an hour.
And also, because I was, like, looking at stuff that was all, like, crazy and stuff, and I was like, ugh.
Like just a lot of fast-moving things.
I don't know. I was just, like, looking at a lot of stuff. It just felt like it was a little too much time being spent in front of a screen.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I stumbled upon this Audubon site that was having a social media campaign going on, and then like I immediately started getting into it and collecting birds because I was like,
is that what that was? What's the game?
Yeah,
they're
the playing? Premise is that I think there's 34 birds, and actually it started on October 10th. So if I think about it, because I started doing it just before Halloween, so I'm actually lucky that I missed like 20 days of the contest, because that would have been like such a time suck.
Yeah.
You know, because I've only really been participating for a little bit over a week, but basically they periodically will release the birds, and they're on like basically there's two birds that are on Twitter that are giving comments. There's a hummingbird and a like Florida scrub jay or something, or
yeah.
Florida blue jay or something. And there's like two different birds that are giving tweets, and they'll give you like little clues about where the birds are located. And some of them are easier than others. It's just like how you see birds in real life.
Yeah,
like you might see cardinals a lot in real life, and they're very, you know, out there, and they're on every single site. That's what they call blog birds, because you can put they have like this coding that you can put a bird on your own website too, to promote yourself, which is pretty cool too. But then they have like rare birds that are only on specific sites, and then they also go away at certain points, which is crazy.
So literally you have to be like searching and
you have to
waiting.
Be on the internet like all the time. And but the coolest thing about this is that the number one person, I guess, who gets all the birds first in like the quickest amount of time, I don't know how they rank everybody, but whoever is the number one position, they get a 10-day trip to the Galapagos Islands, which is like someplace I've always wanted to go.
Galapagos.
Yeah, and it's like it basically is like cost $10,000 just to go there, pretty
really?
Much. Yeah, I mean, I think you can go for $5,000, like, but you're like on the cheap end of things.
Yeah.
But also, it probably costs... That's just for, like, to get there. There's also, like, other additional fees. But you could... But, I mean, basically, it's probably, like, for two people, it's probably, like, a $20,000 trip to go to Galapagos Islands. For the you know, if you want to do it, like, nicely, you know? And, like... But, anyway, that's the number one prize, which I don't even know how anyone could win that. Like, you'd have to be on the internet, like, all the time to know, like, when the birds tweet. And then you'd have to be super smart to know where to go.
Because
they are getting crazy with their clues. The one that happened on Saturday, oh my gosh, this clue was like really hard. Basically, they said, I'm trying to remember what bird was out there. I can't remember specifically. Ah, it's killing me now. Anyway, there's a bird that was out there, and then they said that he really likes shiny things. And then, like, people were like, well, we need more of a clue than that. And I was, like, on the internet, and I was, like, Googling, like, Tiffany, Mercedes-Benz. I was like, what are some shiny things that, like, might be a sponsor?
So did you have to look at certain different sites?
Yeah, like, any different site. Could be anywhere on the internet. Anywhere.
No, so the bird will pop up on any site on the internet?
Yeah.
What?
And it's all flash-based, so, like, you know, if you had an iPod or an iPad, you couldn't do it on there because it's flash.
Oh.
So that's, like, another thing against the iPad.
Well, you know, they'll fix that sooner or later.
Eventually, because like now that Steve Jobs is dead, they can fix that.
If the other,
he was against them, right?
Well, if the other ones, the other pads out there, or tablets,
yeah.
If the other tablets can do Flash,
then Apple will certainly
yeah.
do that probably on the next round.
Yeah.
But anyway, but yeah, it's like the bird pops up, and then you have to hover over the bird, and then like then it says collect, and then you get like a timestamp, and you get like this little card that says what bird you got, like a trading card style. And then you get ranked on the leaderboard. But I am, like, so into it. I don't know if you can tell by my voice, but I really, like, enjoy... Like, basically, there's two more birds left to collect, and I'm, like, really excited about it.
Well, how does this ranking system go?
Right now, I'm in the top 200, so that means I get a free year subscription to Audubon.
Can you tell, like, how many people, like, are on the... on the, like, who else are doing it with you? Like, the leaderboard
only goes up to the top 200.
So it's probably more than 200 people.
Yeah, there's definitely more than 200 people, because then it says, like, you can go to the... They have the rarest bird,
yeah,
and then they have the most common bird. And you can see under most common bird, there's, like, several thousand people that have gotten the most.
Several thousand people?
Yeah.
That's like, a lot.
And, but I think that there are some people that are definitely, like, obsessed with it, because on Twitter, it's the hashtag birdingthenet. Man, like, there's some people that said that they're going to take off work on the final day.
And well, then, it's for to get to Galapagos, right?
I mean, I don't know, but it's like, how do you...
So basically...
I have no idea. And then also they were like, yeah, so basically a by big the time, case of bird flu will happen because everybody
so,
will get
So sick. By the time that this show Colin's airs, sick. The whole contest is done though, right?
Yeah. And like, but I mean, I think my chances of like being the winner of the Galapagos trip is pretty slim. Because I'm like ranked 138, I think. The lowest I got was 40.
How did that happen?
I was like, that at that point, I was like getting all the birds pretty quickly. Like, because I was always on the internet, like, the whole time. So
yeah.
They announced all the birds. So I like, you know, I got the birds like within 15 or 20 minutes after they announced it. But then I dropped a lot one time when I actually was out to lunch.
So like the time that it took you to go eat a sandwich yeah. or something like that and come back.
I basically got the bird an hour later than they announced it. Like literally an hour late, right? And I dropped to like 408 or something like that. Or maybe it was 3. I can't remember, but it was like 390 or it was something like in the deep 300s or early 400s.
Yeah.
And I went from a 40, I think it was, to like around 300. Just because I missed the bird by like an hour. And I was like, and you got to be kidding me. Like, you know, I was like, really? Like, so basically whoever wins the Galapagos trip
has
probably owns a pair of Depends and just sits in front of the computer.
Sits there, walks around like, with their laptop or open wherever they go.
Like they have to, because like, there's no way.
Do you think this is a good example of how people should do promotions online, stuff like that?
I think that in the future,
that's equivalent to like laying your hand on that car forever.
Yeah, it pretty much is. And like in the future, I think a couple of people have tweeted about it, because actually the birding the net hashtag, a lot of people have become friends because of this contest and stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Like they've taken it to a whole nother limits. But I mean, on one hand, it's like, I think it's good promotion because you're going to all the advertiser spots, and also you can put your own birdhouse on your site, you know, like the more common birds you can put on your site.
Yeah.
I think it's like a very effective social media campaign. Plus it actually, like I was saying that it's hard to like earlier in the show, I was talking about how like with records, for example, it's hard, like the treasure hunt is gone, you know, because of the internet. But here it's like, there is a treasure hunt
it's going on and it's online. It's
like
all just
that's what
viral.
And I love collecting the birds. Like my goal is to get in the top 200. So I at least get an Audubon membership for 1 year. And they give you like this bird app that has like a listing of like 900 birds that you can just have on your, at your fingertips, and you can like research the birds.
So what is your guesstimate by the time this show airs? Where do you think you will stand in those numbers?
Well, like I basically decided that I will not go to lunch, and I would eat lunch at my desk. So, because, you know, there's only two birds left.
Because that's what happened last time. That was where
Yeah, I made up for it, though, because then I got back down to, like, I'm at 138 or something. So I went from around 300 to 138 on one bird. So really, you could fluctuate, you know, a couple hundred spaces based on one bird.
Because I remember you sending me emails about your progress while I was out in Luray filming that movie.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I don't even know how they record this, but it seems to be the standings of the when they catch a bird at a certain time.
Yeah, like you definitely get a timestamp, and then like, I don't know how they're doing it though, because like, basically I came into the contest kind of late, and so I caught up on all my birds that I needed, but then there were some birds that were out earlier in the contest.
Yeah.
But then they were already put away, so I had to wait until they came back out into the wild.
Now, how did the visuals of this look, though? It can't be just a random bird, but
they actually have pretty awesome graphics and stuff. They have this awesome animation of, like, actually how the birds would really move in real life, like, their reactions. And, like, I love the animations and the colors and the bird. It really looks like a real bird is, like, on your screen. And there's certain ones that they did that were really funny, like, for example, the woodpecker. He's, like, pecking on the side of, like, the website.
That's cool.
And then, another tricky one that they did earlier was, they said one of the birds was, like, I'm researching myself up on the internet. And then when you research, you go to his website on Wikipedia. Because he's researching himself.
Yeah.
And he was actually on Wikipedia.
That's cool. So they can really be, like, anywhere on the web.
And the thing is, this is why this contest is so crazy. Because then, you know how, like, in the part... he wasn't actually on the Wikipedia page.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a link from... You know how the Wikipedia has the source?
Yeah.
And then you click off there, and then you went to, like, some random website that wasn't even had to do with the bird.
But then, actually,
the Wikipedia... they got in trouble because the Wikipedia people took down that link because said it wasn't relevant to the bird. And so then, like, they had to redo it. And then some people were complaining to the hashtag. They're saying, like, oh, well, you should have warned Wikipedia beforehand that you're going to do the contest.
I feel like a contest this big from that many websites, it feels like a lot of planning must have been
in place. Oh, yeah, they definitely planned it. And another one that was hard was one of them was... Oh, I didn't even get to the harder one on the other day. Okay, so what I was saying earlier about one of them, I think it was the magpie. They said he is looking for shiny things.
Yeah.
And like, so I was Googling, like I said earlier, I was Googling like Tiffany's or Mercedes Benz and like stuff like that, like jewelry pretty much. I was like, this has to be something with jewelry.
Yeah.
And then like That was the only hint. And then everyone on the Birding the Net hashtag was like, we need another hint. Like, they're like, we don't know where it is. It was like, this is after like half an hour.
Yeah.
And then they were like, maybe we should talk about nectar, because the hummingbird that tweets, like, apparently if you talk about nectar, he'll give you like another, another tip.
Really?
Yeah. So everyone's like, nectar tastes good. Like, give us another tip. Here's some nectar.
See, I see this.
I was like, what is going on here?
See, I see this is like very similar to like when you got stuck on the Rango site. It's like there's more things to discover.
Yeah, it was very similar to the... I love the Rango site. But with Rango, the only prizes you got were like you could download screensavers.
But this to the Galapagos Islands.
But this one, I'm like, dude, you could go to the Galapagos Islands. And which, like, I would love to win the trip, but I'm not in the contest necessarily to win it. Because I already know.
Like, what are you planning on winning out of this?
I at least want to get in the top 200.
What do you get with that?
You get a free one-year Audubon member subscription for 1 year.
What do you get with that?
You get, like, their magazine, which has, like, great photography of nature.
Yeah.
And you get, like, I guess... maybe it's Avis or one of the car companies. You get a discount, I guess.
On a car?
No, for rental.
Oh, rental.
You know, like you probably get like 10 or 15%.
Oh, for like vacation and stuff like that.
And you get like, it's basically like being any member, like a membership of anything. And you get like, I guess you get maybe like discounts on parks and stuff like that. And then, but you also get the app that has like, it's a $10 app usually. Like I could really just pay $10 for it if I wanted to.
Cool.
But but it's an app that has every bird, like a field guide.
Yeah.
But and you can research. You could basically be out in the field, be out in the nature and look up any bird. So that's cool.
So would you say this is the best web scavenger hunt?
Yes, it is the best, and I love all the birds, and it actually makes me I think their goal is to like actually get people really into real life birding. So that, you know, a lot of people actually have, like, their binoculars and they check off, like, which birds they actually see in real life. So it's kind of what it is, but it's on the internet. But also what I was saying about the hard ones, There was an, that, okay, so that Wikipedia, or, okay, so not the Wikipedia one. There's that one, you know how I said that it had a link, and then it went off the Wikipedia? Okay, so this one was like, we need a shiny object, and then people were like telling the other bird that they'll give it nectar, and then it came back and gave another clue. And it said, he said something like, he really likes, like, old goods and like, trinkets in Sacramento, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. And, like, at first I was like, what the hell? I was like, so I started Googling Sacramento pawn shops. And, like, I was Googling, like, Sacramento, like, jewelry or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, nothing was coming up for, like, a while. And then somebody posts another hint, like, some random, like, follower posts a hint on the hashtag, so everyone saw it on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, you know, remember when we saw this other bird, like, on Craigslist? They're like, check Craigslist. So I was like, oh, man, I need to go to Craigslist. So I went to Craigslist, Sacramento, and then under, like, for sale jewelry. And I was like, right, and then it was right there when I specifically went to that, you know?
Cause that's pretty
that's
crazy.
Just based on one tip that somebody said Craigslist.
That's pretty crazy that in-depth, okay, like, throughout the whole entire, like, internet.
But then, get this. So then it said, shiny objects or something like that. And so I was like, that's it? And then I like clicked, or I forget what exactly it said. Something like, you know, the tip was shiny objects.
Yeah.
So I clicked on it and said, like, Miss Magpie is looking for shiny objects. Email her at this address, like magpie.gmail or whatever it was. And then I was like, holy shit, I have to email them for this? And I emailed them, like, using my Hotmail because that's my primary email.
Yeah.
I didn't hear back from, like, 15 minutes. And then, like, everyone else that was there was like, well, oh, she emails instantly. I was like, I haven't gotten anything. So then I was like, well, I have a Gmail. I'll try the Gmail. And then she like instantly answered me on Gmail. And then so I was like, man, you ate 15 minutes because of my Hotmail, you know? But I'm glad I like thought enough to think of using another email. She still hasn't even emailed me on my Hotmail. Oh. So I don't even think that went out.
So lots of people could have been.
So yeah, lots of people could have been out of the race, man. But I'm glad that I went to Gmail really quick too. Because that only lost me 15 minutes, but still, every minute counts. And then, like, but then she emailed me, and then when she emailed me, it had a link to, like, this random site, and then the bird came on. And then I clicked the bird, and I got the magpie. Isn't that hard?
But that's also maybe hard, but it was also very, like, an online adventure.
But wasn't that fun?
It's a good way to, like, actually help promote other things. It's like, oh, go on this site. Oh, now I'm on this site. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That might be something that we should try to do in the future for our stuff.
I know, dude. I would love to run a social media campaign for a company like that. It's awesome.
And there you go, guys. That's another tale.
The ups and downs of the internet.
That's the ups and downs of the internet with Steve Jobs and all the stuff. Tune in next week. AstrayProductions.com, curls-studio.com. My name is Jew.
And I'm Carolyn.
Thanks for tuning in. Catch y'all next week. Stay positive.